Thank you very much, Randy. If you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so right now in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal out. The cover story, the cover article, is intriguing to say the least. Looking under the surface of the millennial generation, Christian Smith and Melinda Denton say that the vision of the universe that millennials have inherited from their parents and from their culture is the vision of a morally insignificant universe. So when one looks up into the stars, one simply sees empty space in which no one else is at home. They see short lives, lives that have come by chance, lives in an insignificant bit of carbon floating in a galaxy destined for extinction. No larger law-like order in nature that structures the moral living of the human race. No judgment, no final retribution or punishment, not even a remembrance of one's life after time and physics have run their course. Simply self. Simply a world and experience, nothing more. In other words, when you take back the cover and you look underneath the surface of the millennial generation, you find a generation not just living in the shadow of the Bible, as the baby boomers did, but a generation echoing the values of their parents as echo boomers, values that are now separated so far from the Bible that people themselves have become mini-gods, and therefore the church has begun to cater to the self as opposed to pointing people to the Savior. Now, it's one thing to curse the darkness. It's another thing to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And I think the article in the Christian Research Journal, again, it's the cover story. The article in the Christian Research Journal is one of the most brilliantly written articles we've ever offered our constituency. It is an article worth reading and devouring if, in fact, we want to reach the millennial generation with the gospel, if we want to make the church not a microcosm of the culture, but a change agent in the culture. Joining me on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is the article's author, Mark Sayers. He's a speaker and an author. He specializes in interpreting popular culture from a Christian viewpoint. And he is the founder of Uber, a ministry that specializes in issues of youth and young adult discipleship. He lives in Melbourne, Australia, with his wife, Trudy, daughter, Grace, and they are expecting twins any moment. Good to have you on the broadcast, Mark.
Good to be here.
Mark, talk to us for a moment about the new kind of human and how to reach that human in this particular epoch of time.
I think I'm using the term new human in a sense to, I guess, express how differently millennials view the world. I think, often we don't get beneath the surface of really just how different their worldview is, and how different their worldview is, as you were saying in the intro, to a biblical worldview. For me, new humans are people who are coming of age trying to find a sense of meaning in a world where the sacred, where the Christian idea of transcendence has been completely removed. And therefore, often when they talk to us, it can sound like they're looking for, I guess, Christian answers, when actually I think they're looking for something very different. And I think that that sort of lack of transcendence and lack of the sacred completely is the motivation behind so much of what they do.
One of the things that I have noted in reading your article is that the quest for salvation has been recast as a quest for well-being. And it seems to me that when you look around the culture today, you see many megachurches popping up who are catering to that quest for well-being, health, and wealth, as opposed to pointing people to eternal verities.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that a lot of this is happening, unbeknownst to some of these churches. You know, in a sense, intuitively they sense that what people are looking for is salvation in the imminent, sort of salvation in this world, here and now. So without meaning to, you know, to keep the numbers up, to get people sitting in seats, you can find yourself sort of heading down this slippery slope where really you're just offering almost another version, a Christian version of what Oprah offers, you know, really. And, you know, for me, increasingly, this is something I guess I'm becoming concerned about and sort of trying to wave the flag and just help people realize what's going on here.
What do we do about that, though? I mean, if you look at the exodus of kids out of the church simply doesn't seem to be relevant to them anymore. Even when the church is recast in the image of the world, it doesn't seem relevant to them anymore. So what do we do about that?
I think this is one of the great sort of, paradoxes of mission or evangelism is that, you know, often to be relevant, you have to be irrelevant or different to the culture. I mean, there's this fine line between offering things and using the language of the culture, which I think, you know, all good missionaries are meant to communicate in culturally relevant terms. But the danger is when you're offering, the church is trying to offer what MTV or Coca-Cola or Oprah's Empire offers, eventually the young person's going to look at the two and say, actually, I'm going to go with that one that lets me, you know, sleep with who I want to sleep with and do what I want to do there. So I think we really need to offer a message which speaks in, I guess, the language of the millennials, but offers them something completely different, something that they're not hearing anywhere else in the culture.
If Madonna is merely a material girl living in a material world, then her choices are not free. Her choices are fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. How important is it in a world in which people have grasped tenaciously to the material, how important is it to point to metaphysical realities and to be able to demonstrate that those metaphysical realities are not obscurantist viewpoints, but rather are rooted in history and evidence?
I mean, I think that you know, one of the things that's fascinating is whilst we have this sort of, as you say, this materialist worldview, we sort of, you know, betray that worldview, or, you know, the culture betrays that worldview in that sense. It's always looking for transcendence. So it looks for it, you know, you look at the place of sexuality in our culture, our culture's blown it out of all proportion because it's looking for a sense of the sacred in that, yet it doesn't want to admit that sexuality has sort of, you know, a transcendent element, that there's accountability to our actions. So constantly when you look at the culture, it's sort of betraying its worldview all the time by seeking out transcendence in sports, in entertainment, all the time it's looking for these things. So I think, you know, speaking into that is absolutely key. And as you say, you know, offering that there is this, you know, defendable transcendent truth found in Scripture and the revelation of Scriptures is absolutely key.
I want to read just a couple of words from your article and then have you comment. You say, then as we look out across the millennia, something grabs our attention. It seems small, weak, irrelevant. It is two wooden beams tied together. It sits 2,000 years ago on a garbage dump. We almost didn't see it. The light and the noise pollution, the pumping soundtracks, the buzz, the tweets, the 24-hour news cycles, which took our attention away. But there it rudely sits. And before we know it, the noise, the heat, the distraction dies away. It rises up before us. The inane pop music is now gone. And all that remains is a steady beat, which we soon realize is our hearts pumping. Beneath our feet is dust, the dust from which we came, the dust that we will return to. Before we know it, all the lies of our culture, the spin thrown at millennials, that youth lasts forever, that somehow the present moment will hang in the air for eternity, are exposed. Our cosmic smallness, our fragility, our mortality is brought into the blinding light. Standing here, our pathetic attempts to be gods are revealed for the pitiful cosmic charades they truly are. For millennials to begin a true religious conversion, one not hampered by the incessant chatter of the therapeutic self, we must remind both them and ourselves of our own mortality. Talk about that truth.
Well, I think so much of our current culture is rooted in a culture of distraction. There's constant buzz around. The sort of existential loneliness that throughout history, particularly young people, 18 to 25, have felt, where they sit there at night and think, you know, what's this all about? You know, I'm going to die one day. The problem is I don't think we're having that now, because kids are constantly distracted. They're looking at their cell phones. You've got Facebook to check. There's always something on, this buzz. And, you know, for me, mortality cuts through all of the sort of garbage, really, of this culture. And you know, almost part of the message I think Christians need to carry, which is not a popular one, is that, hey, we die. Lady Gaga's going to die one day. That, you know, all of this stuff will pass. And for me, when you look at that mortality, all of a sudden there's a sense of proper perspective put in. It's like our metrics, the metrics that we've given the millennials to measure life and measure success and measure meaning are completely wrong. And for me, you know, once that moment of mortality happens, that's when we can have that true encounter with the cross, which, you know, so it's always relevant in every culture, but, you know, it's never been more relevant than this moment in a culture which sort of says that, you know, we're never going to die, that we, you know, we must worship self.
How do we get kids, though, Mark, to stop long enough to see those two wooden beams tied together and to recognize the relevance?
That's the million-dollar question. For me, you know, one of the ways I look at it is there was an ancient Celtic missionary, I think around the year 400 or 500, called Boniface, and he did ministry in northern Germany, and he would go into all these villages that were pagan, and in the middle of the villages they'd have this tree which they worshipped, and his missional sort of strategy was to take an axe, and before he'd preach the gospel, he'd chop down that tree. And when that tree hit the ground, then he'd start to tell them about Christ. I think we almost have to carry axes today, that, you know, we have to start, you know, helping young people question some of the lies that culture's given them, deconstruct some of the promises of media and culture, and then we can start to have this conversation. But I think often we just sort of go straight in and we don't look at the way that the culture's twisted us, and then the gospel message gets lost because they haven't reached that sort of moment of repentance.
We really appreciate your article. Your writing is brilliant. I think this is one of the best articles we've ever offered our constituency. Thank you so much for your contribution, not only to our magazine, but to the broadcast today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Mark, bless you and your wife, Trudy, as you await your twins.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, my friend. We're talking to Mark Sayers. He's the author of the similar article in the Christian Research Journal, Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. You need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's the only place you're going to get articles like this. This really, in itself, is worth subscribing to the magazine. But it gives you kind of a flavor for the excellence, not only of how we offer the article, the graphics that accompany it, but the excellence of an article that causes us to look deeply and reflect, not skate over the surface, but to go deep, deep where we can hear the voice of another world, the voice of God who has invaded our world, and that makes all the difference in the world. The Christian Research Journal, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Journal right now. When you become a Bible Answer Man monthly support team giver, We will send you 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Also, our way of equipping you. You can join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI.